If you who listen to the program read newspapers regularly, there were all kinds of articles in the newspaper not pertaining to the airline crash over Soviet Union. The story this last week is the United States planning a coup in Lebanon. It was just a year ago this week that Bashir Jamal was killed, and then the intense massacre of people in Lebanon had taken place in June, July. The elections were to take place. His brother took over for him. Now they're talking about the Lebanese army being one-third of a group, the others being the Druze and the Shiite Muslims working together, and maybe the CIA or our government calling it a peacekeeping force will use the weapons to break up Lebanon into a three-part area. And what do you think of that? Do you think we should be interfering so much? We set up Lebanon as a country. We set it up on a condition that only a Christian family could run it, and the only Christian family to run it would be the Jamals. And the father of Bashir Jamal and the president of Lebanon today, Amin Jamal, the father, worked with the Grand Mufti, with Adolf Hitler, in the Middle East, and the family was involved in narcotics traffic and weapon transfers and a lot of the terror that goes on in the Middle East. And the CIA set up the conditions that only the Christian leaders would be the ones in power, and the other people don't particularly appreciate that. I don't know if you have feelings about that, what you think of the United States going into all these different countries and giving those kinds of orders to people. We did this in South Korea. South Korea was set up in 1945 after World War II. And in 1950 to 1953, the United States government was over there. And then we had an agreement to defend them. Anytime a North Korean goes south, we would defend them. I don't know if you've read the budget, the United States budget, the debt of trillions of dollars, billions into the trillion. This war machine is breaking us. And we're willing to send troops and money all over the world, and we're sending it to military dictatorships, and the dictatorships are collapsing. So the money is virtually wasted. Lech Walesa said today that the solidarity should be discontinued, and maybe some small groups under another name. When it turned out that he was given $50 million or more by the Vatican, and the Pope went to Poland on the last trip, I said that Walesa would be sacrificed, as would Solidarity, because of their links to the CIA and the missing money. So there's another group that allegedly was a labor union that was CIA front. If you want to talk about these things, as I say, you can call. Otherwise, I have a lot of news that I can share with you. If you want to call, it's 375-3082. Another story this past week, and you probably saw it if you read Time, Newsweek, or any of the papers, Chile seethes after a decade of Pinochet. And I'll mention a little more about that in respect to the Korean airline incident. Pinochet's been in 10 years, and the people are really angry. And he gave them hope, and he turned out to be a true dictator. He said Allende was a Marxist, but he is not any part of democracy. It was put in by Henry Kissinger and John McCone, ITT, and the strong fascist elements that have worked with Hitler's agents during and after the war. And before the war. So now after 10 years, there are riots and displeasure in Philippines, in Chile, in South Korea, in Lebanon. It doesn't see in Pakistan. Zia is having trouble. Iran was overthrown. The Shah was kicked out. It doesn't seem as if our hundreds of millions of dollars into these various countries has worked. Can you find any American statesman or congressman who's willing to say that's enough already? It's all going down the drain. We should be working with democracies. A few have said it, but you can't cite their names, and I can't cite their names, and I read many, many papers and look for somebody I may want to write to or somebody I want to vote for, and the leadership is completely neutralized. And when that happens, then you're assured also this fascism, the very thing that people dread for 1984 just seems to be moving along because of the silence of people, even the so-called candidates. I'll mention maybe if I have time later that Senator Cranston was going to run on a peace issue, and when the Bo came this week after the Korean Air flight incident. He abstained from voting and allowed the budget for the MX missile to go through and for the binary nerve gas. This is Senator Cranston, the great peace lover. He didn't say the vote is too soon after the Korean incident. It's cute how the Korean incident went down just at the time that Congress was to come back and vote on these issues that they didn't want to have before the summer started. The Madrid Conference on Human Rights was to start. The arms talks were to begin in Geneva. And I'll do more on the motives and what happened when the plane went down. But the countries that the CIA has put in are all in deep trouble. And it seems that one incident, and this justifies all the oppression and all the mismanagement of the places we sent our money for all of these years. Another story in the LA Times this past week, this tale of new offensive in Nicaragua, aided by strange donations, and it said money is coming in from Costa Rica, arms, recruits, donations believed to come from the Central Intelligence Agency, the anti-Sandinista guerrillas headquartered here in Costa Rica. They've been trained in Miami, just as the Cubans, the Anacostia Cubans, were trained to invade Cuba at the time of Bay of Pigs, and the Somoza family is out. They owned practically everything in Nicaragua, and finally, a revolution came and got rid of the Somoza family and Somoza also. But now the CIA sponsorship of the armies is going full swing, and Nicaragua is one more fatality on the CIA budget that we're trying to put back into power against the will of the people. There's a call now, and I'll see who is this.
Hello?
Yeah. Hi. Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering, you talked about the Korean flight 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, at that time when it happened, I thought, well, you know, this has been set up and so forth. And then the Russians came out and said they shot the plane down. So I was a little confused. I mean, it seems like in all the years that I've done my research, everything's blamed on the Russians, but they never really did anything.
Uh-huh.
But this time they said they did shoot this plane down. So what do you make of that?
Well, they did say that they shot the plane down, but the important thing is that, number one, they were planning very top-secret maneuvers over those islands that very evening.
Oh, really?
Yes. And tonight on World Watchers, I will go not so much into the evidence as the motives again, and update the evidence. But briefly, one of the reasons was that they were planning their top-secret operations over those islands that night. And that spy plane that followed the commercial airline went back to Alaska at Anchorage and was synchronized with a satellite spy operation, a three-part surveillance of that area. And I have articles saying it was one of the most important areas to the Soviet Union, and they had been planning this for a long time. So the Americans sent in a commercial line just at that time. Now, if the pilot wanted to save the people, the Japanese picked up some very strange messages, including a word about Delta. It hasn't been decoded yet. But the pilots were talking about the decompression in the chamber, and were, you know, seconds after they were hit, they were saying there's decompression, and there wasn't. And they gave the flight number, just the airplane number, not help me or save us or anything. And the pilot from New York City to Anchorage said that the radio panel malfunctioned. It wasn't working on that flight. And he assumed they fixed it before it left for Korea. And it wasn't fixed at all, so that the radio communication, there was no way that half of these messages, if they even tried to get them to him, would get through. So the radio, besides the computer that directs the plane being out, there was no way that the radio panel was working. It was not repaired at Anchorage, and they picked up this expert Air Force pilot for the last part over this sensitive area. Now, it could have been the Russians. I heard yesterday coming up on, I was driving up from L.A., and on KGO and on the news all day, they were saying the flight box, the black box, was retrieved, and this wasn't an ordinary plane, and it wasn't an ordinary flight.
And I turned on the evening news when I got home to see what they would have. And I turned on the morning news and I haven't heard a thing about it. But the Sunday London Observer has a long article on the spy operations of this plane and what they found in that black box. And this has been 24 hours, and we haven't heard a thing. So I'll pick up the Observer tomorrow. Incidentally, local people may not know that there's a shop in the Thunderbird that sells the London Times and the London Observer this Sunday. I picked them up on Tuesdays, and some of you people may want to run over and get those. They're $3 a copy, but it's a totally different story about Klaus Barbie or the Vatican or the spy plane. You know, and I wish I could get it every day, but I can't. But the fact is that Russia said, yes, we shot them down, but they said a long time ago, if you fly over this area, we'll shoot you down. So that doesn't explain 2.5 hours over the area, and it doesn't explain that they were along the spy plane for a long time before the spy plane went back, or what was happening that night. The CIA and the Army intelligence knew that the operations were taking place that evening. And another thing, Russia was supposed to test one of their top-secret new missiles. I have the number of it at home, but because I was going to use it next week. And this hindered their using and testing the new missile, and the test site was going to be where the airplane went over. So the point is that the equipment panels didn't work, the computer system didn't work. The pilot gave no awareness, evidently. And the voice of the pilot just mentioned something about 0101 Delta. There's decompression in the chamber, but they haven't said through this recording if that's the voice of the pilot who flew the president of Korea. I'm beginning to think that maybe the original pilots were dead. There were four top pilots on the plane. Mm-hmm. And Jack Anderson has an article today that we shouldn't use these pilots. We should do like Israel and use planes without pilots for spying. And he says we used them in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Well, that far back. They were used in the 60s. And besides a stealth bomber. And every time we do something, we test a new weapon or test Soviet Union's response. But we pick the night when they were testing their new missile and had to call it off because the spy planes were over them.
So the Koreans and the American government were using a civilian plane
and a
spy work.
That's right, and a satellite plane and a spy plane at the same time. A satellite, a spy plane, and a civilian plane synchronized.
How about this thing with Larry McDonald being on board? Does that fit in, or is it just a coincidence?
Oh, no, that fits in. I don't want to duplicate this because I want to get it on
the internet. Oh, you're going to talk about that on your show today.
Oh, yeah, mostly that, because that's so important. I don't want to get off of it because I tell people if they call in, they can ask questions on these things. Incidentally, I did want to mention for local people, if they miss a broadcast, there's a station up at Santa Cruz or Cupertino that carries this broadcast, only they get it 1 week later, and the point is that their antenna has been increased so that it goes from, say, Cupertino down to the peninsula here and up to the Bay Area.
To San Francisco.
Yeah, and it comes on, World Watchers comes on at 9 o'clock, on 8 to 9 on Kazoo, and I want everyone to listen to Kazoo every hour of the day they can. But if they take 1 hour off, if they missed last week's World Watcher, they can always pick it up on Monday night from 9 to 10. If they're out of town or it's a holiday, a Monday or something like that, they can pick it up 1 week later going back that week. So what I have on tonight is current, and 9 to 10 was last week's program.
9 to 10.
Yes.
Do you know the number of the station?
Yeah, it's 91.5 FM, KKUP.
91.5 FM. Wow, mm-hmm. That's great.
Because some people have called me living in the Valley and Carmel. They're picking it up at 9. But I'll talk more about Larry McDonald tonight. But you see, the Korean plane, the Russians did say we shot it. But they said if you fly over this area, you get shot. And mm-hmm. they did try to get them to change course, and this plane was zigzagging.
Didn't they spend something like 5 hours trying to get them to leave the area?
2.5 hours they asked them to leave the area, and for 7 hours or so they were missing. But the president spoke and said it was on a straight line, and didn't change its course, and there was no warning. And Gene Kirkpatrick read this discussion of how we're going to shoot at the United Nations. And just this week, there was a reversal of this, and in the newspapers it said Ronald Reagan lied and George Shultz lied, and so Gene Kirkpatrick, that the evidence they gave to the UN was altered, and that there was indication of conversation of warning shots, and there was indication the plane changed its course and was curving around and not going straight, and that it was played in front of the United Nations. It got so much attention with Gene Kirkpatrick's ugly, mad face. It was all a lie. And he'd like to shove it in her face. But the evidence was altered. That's nothing new. People have studied history, but a few days later, this week, it came out that that was altered. So we have a plane where it left from New York to Anchorage with problems, radio problems and communication. It had computer malfunctions of directions. It lay off course, and no indication the pilots knew it. Total silence of the pilots with some code words that have been debriefed. The Soviet Union, it seems, has had that box for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Gary Powers U-2 flight, and they were waiting for us to respond, and then they would pull it out. So that they've had that for a week.
Well, I've flown on commercial planes overseas before, and I think it's really disgusting that the American government and the Korean government would be using a civilian airliner for spy missions over dangerous areas.
How else would you get people aroused if you didn't have little babies going down? You know, but incidentally, after all the brahu and what's what, there was an article in the New York Times, September the 11th, that's less than 2 weeks after this happened, and after the evidence came in of being altered, and it says new U.S. missile concessions, that the American negotiators at Geneva talks have been empowered to make concessions to the Soviet Union. The official said President Reagan gave the go-ahead for the movement on several issues. Reagan's approval of the steps came after the Soviet Union shot down the Korean plane and remarked on the timing that it's no time to make any new moves, so he's going to give concessions to the Soviet Union?
Hmm.
Does that tell you that they almost are playing back the tapes for him somewhere?
Hmm. Boy, that's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? That's the New York Times, September the 11th. That was just a few days ago, less than 2 weeks after it went down, and all the brahu that they're liars and you can't deal with them and barbarians, they went, and you would think that the missile talks would be called off. I thought that was one of the motives for doing this. And then I read that he's given instructions to go ahead and take steps and new moves to make concessions to the Soviets.
Boy, that's an unusual switch.
Yeah, it's written by Leslie Gelb, who's one of the good writers of the New York Times. So that tells you that all of them know something that most people don't want to admit around here, you know, that something happened on the plane other than what he first yelled about.
That's very interesting.
You see, if we got the flight box first, then he wouldn't have to make the concession.
That's right.
Okay. You get the big... Oh, listen, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, I will answer questions on some things that I, even though I discuss them later, because we don't get a two-way dialogue on this. Once World Watcher starts, it's all one way. It's one way all the way. So if you have any questions you want to ask, this is Mae Brussel, and it's 375-3082 on Kazoo. Incidentally, in the Philippines, there was to be a investigation similar to the Warren Commission to find out about the background of the fellow that shot Aquina, and the people in the Philippines, the opposition Liberal Party, said, forget it. They said to President Marcos, disband the commission, that it's just a joke. It's so devoid of credibility that its functioning is likely to aggravate the danger of instability marked by the horrifying murder. No more Warren Commission reports. They don't want them over there because they say that only makes it worse to have a phony investigation. Now they found out that the fellow that shot Aquino was very high up in the military and with the officers in the Philippine Army. He also had been a guard for Imelda Marcos when she was in the United States, when she warned Aquino not to come to the Philippines or he would be killed. So they called off the investigation. It'd be very nice if every country would catch on and say, no more commissions to investigate, unless the friends of the person who was slain become the investigators. The assassins shouldn't any longer be the investigators. Here's a story from Munich. It was published in the LA Times. Solidarity's future may be underground. Lech Walesa, as I said before, told them in Poland today, let's not have solidarity anymore. We can do away with it because we'll give it another name and go underground, but there is no more solidarity. It was just a creation, as I say, of the CIA, the AFL-CIO, and the Vatican, hoping to instigate revolution in Poland against the Soviet Union. The timing was off because just after Roberta Calvi, the banker for the Vatican and for Banco Ambrosiano, was murdered in June of 82, and Calvi's money linked to the Vatican and then linked to Stiebaum, the office in Milan of drugs and gun running and narcotics and assassinations. Once all that was fitting together, it was time to call quits with Lech Walesa, who got his $50 million and, as I say, hasn't accounted for it. Another failure got down the pike. Israel is divided by its new extremists. Begin is out, and for the first time, the Israelis are fighting each other. There's some people that are moderate and don't want this war, and they're the hawkish right wing and the religious zealots, and now they're all fighting each other. The policy has been fairly peaceful inside Israel for the most part, considering how many different factions there were, because they were fighting the Arab world so heavily, and they had to keep on their toes and stay together. But after the invasion of Lebanon and the massacre and the deaths of Israelis and the death of Palestinians, I think they felt they had to participate in their government also and speak up about that. Now, if there's any questions you want to ask about World Watchers, call 375-3082. This is Mae Bressel in Pacific Grove, California. There's one article that was in Newsweek this past week, about Time Magazine, rather, August 15th, 1983, and I'll do more of that on World Watchers in a few weeks from now. But it's a story of John Connolly with paintings by a man named Milray de Hoery, D-E-H-O-R-Y, and he was a famous counterfeiter who died just at the time they were investigating the phony Mormon will that Mr. Dumas was supposed to have found at the given to him, the will that was found at the Mormon church. And when Howard Hughes died in 1976, there were several hundred millions of dollars, many hundreds of millions involved, and allegedly there had been no will. And one day John Connolly, who worked for the CIA and who worked with Michael Sindona from the Vatican, and Paul Marcinkus, the banker for the Pope, and Mr. David Kennedy's former Secretary of Treasury under Richard Nixon, John Connolly, and Kennedy's an elder in the Mormon Church. John Connolly is tied up with all of these spy and espionage links. He was also the governor of Texas when John Kennedy was shot. He was shot in the motorcade also, but survived that. And the day that the Mormon will was found, John Connolly was in the Mormon church with the heads of the Mormon church. And at the time, the will was found to be a forgery, and I believe that Mr. de Hoery had done the forgery, and Time magazine this week has a picture of John Connolly with the paintings by de Hoery, and it's the first time I've seen the two of them linked together, although I'd done that in 1976 and 78 on these programs. But I'll take one more call. Hello?
Hi, May. How are you doing?
Okay.
See the article in Thursday's LA Times regarding the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee closed hearings on terrorism in the Olympics.
Oh, boy.
It seems like the Jekylls are all starting to fight over their piece of the turf. There's some 14 government agencies vying for sole control of security for the Olympics, including the CIA and the FBI, NSA.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do. I put together all of my articles on the LAPD files and their links to Larry McDonald. I'll do some of those in a few minutes on the World Watchers program, and then also the links of those same people to the Olympics. And there's this big fight: who will control the terrorists? Because they want to start gathering up the radicals and clean the country out of the anti-war spokesman and arrest these masses of people. and these people that might be down there. And so the CIA is finding with the local police, and the local police have their computers tied up with the late Larry McDonald, and they're still going on with this bitter fight.
There's a great quote here from Senator Jeremiah Denton, the Republican from Alabama. He claims, and it's almost the same line as the Western Goals, that Denton says he fears that the constraints on the FBI's collection of domestic security information on individuals and groups that are not primarily directed by foreign powers will hamper the agency's ability to counter terrorism in the games.
Well, see, Denton is going to take over Larry McDonald's cloak.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, because see, his name isn't linked to the files because he doesn't have Western Goals.
Did you see the Western Goals produced Nowhere to Hide terrorist program that was on last week on the?
No, I missed that.
I've got that on tape.
Did you take? I missed it. You know, I was down in L.A. and it was on Channel
6 out of Atlanta, I guess.
Yeah, Ted Turner, and I announced on this program the week before the plane crashed down to be sure to see. Can you tell us in about three minutes what it was about?
It was.
Did they do a eulogy first on Larry? Did they mention any?
At the very end, sure. This is all in regard to what Larry McDonald stood for and. How ironic that he this is what he died for.
Oh, they linked it together.
They had Larry Reese was on, and they had...
John Reese was on?
John Reese, excuse me.
Yes.
Right, and Larry McDonald, various segments. And initially what they did was go through any number of groups worldwide and link them to the communist conspiracy, including... the Red Brigade and the PLO. And
Carlos?
Exactly.
The same people that I linked to Larry McDonald.
It was a massive propaganda right-wing smear.
The Claire Sterling Terror Network?
So far as to go, yeah, Claire Sterling was listed. And
Michael Ledeen, who said the Bulgarian plot to kill the Pope.
They dealt with that plot. They also went all as far back to Kent State and indicated that that was caused by off-campus subversion by leftist radicals and, very subjective quotes out of context from the yippies.
How can we get people to really catch on? What can we do? What can people do to really say, these are provocateurs? You know, I was doing this with the Manson family. I was doing it with the SLA, with the Jonestown, the LAPD, with Squad 19 and Larry McDonald and Western Gold. What more can I do? What more can people do to warn the people how easily they'll succumb to this?
Hopefully people are getting a little bit wiser, a little bit more skeptical. There's another new movie that's just...
Oh, yeah. Alexander Haig produced it.
Right, exactly, and given his unconditional endorsement, Final Option. Good review in Mercury on the 16th by Glenn Lovell.
Oh, my God.
Calls it strictly a reactionary propaganda of the right.
Yeah. Listen, our time's just
right,
about... I'll tell you what to do. Make me a copy of the tape.
Okay, sure.
And I'll get a blank one back to you. And let me hear it, and I'll take notes, and then I'll discuss it, because I did tell people here, and I set up a tape recorder, and in the city of L.A., I was sure it'd be there, but maybe the Western Gold, they didn't want to confuse the police department.
Right.
Okay, but I'll get the tape and then pass it on to people.
Okay,
bye-bye.
That is... a terrifying thing how easily people fall for the idea that of the terrorists and how they're coming to get us. You know, it's just, I don't know how to stop it and how to tell people, you know, to investigate the past so that we don't repeat it. I guess we will have to live through that agony and be rounded up. I can't imagine how else they're ever going to learn. I just don't think there's any way that they haven't learned it by now. Maybe I shouldn't be so pessimistic. I don't mean that. Forget that. We can learn more every day. Now we'll begin World Watches. It's time, and it is now 8 o'clock.